Dear radio friends, you will remember that we are engaged in a study of the temptations of Christ, as recorded for us in the Holy Scriptures, Matthew chapter 4. If you would read that chapter, you would see that shortly after Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan River, he was led of the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, where he was tempted of the devil. There were especially three temptations that Satan brought. The first was that he would change stones into bread, aiming at his physical hunger, and trying to get him to think that God was not showing him favor or blessing. The second, which we want to consider today, or at least begin to consider today, was when the devil immediately took him from the wilderness to the pinnacle of the temple, and challenged him to cast himself from that pinnacle in a display of his trust in God. And finally, that chapter tells us that the devil took him to a great mountain where the Lord could see all the kingdoms of the world and told him, "Bow down and worship me, and I will give you all that your eye sees." As I said, we want to look into that second temptation today, or at least make a good beginning in looking into what the Scriptures tell us about it. First, let's have a little review over that first temptation. We saw that in the first temptation, Satan sought to undermine the Word of God. We emphasize that this is always the case. This is always at the heart of every temptation. Every temptation is trying to draw us away from the certainty of the Word of God. The devil had witnessed the baptism at the Jordan River and had heard the voice of God from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now Satan comes with a two-barbed dart. "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made into bread. God has said that you are his Son, that he is well pleased with you. Is that so? Look at you. It is enough. Is it enough for you to rely only upon God's word? Demonstrate it. Use your power for yourself to provide for yourself." "Oh," said the devil, "I'm not saying that his word is not true, but would you point to something outside of his word which will show that it's true?" And so the devil was attacking the reliability, the certainty, and the trustworthiness of God's word. And the Lord's answer was beautiful. It is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord." That is, he would tell the devil that it's not what's in my stomach and it's not where I sleep that determines God's favor, but God's favor is revealed to me in his holy word. Now the devil, we read, immediately takes him to the pinnacle of the temple. And he says, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." This time, the devil seeks the Savior to display a false trust in God, to commit the sin of presumption. "You say that you trust in the Father? Well, prove it. You claim to live by every word of God? That's what you just said. You said you live by every word of God. Well, really? You really live by every word of God? Prove it. Jump. Jump off the pinnacle. Don't you believe the word of God when he says he will give his angels charge and keep thee from dashing thy foot on the stones below?" And so he is seeking the Savior to demonstrate the sin of distrust, or rather, false trust in the Word of God. Let's look, first of all, at the challenge here. The second temptation came on the heels of the first. We read, "Then the devil taketh him up to the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple." And there is no doubt what that means. In some way, we are not told how. The Gospel according to Luke tells us he was carried. The devil takes Christ to Jerusalem and the temple, to the holy city, which is Jerusalem. In the Old Testament, it was just that, the city where God had chosen to dwell, where the throne of David was, and where the temple stood with its holy place. The devil setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple. The temple was built on Mount Moriah, situated atop a cliff, and the pinnacle refers to the edge of the temple building. It was not the top of a church spire or steeple or balcony, but the peak of the roof or edge of the temple roof, and he set him down there. The architecture of the temple was not like the Muslim mosque with its spires and peaks and minuets, but it was a box. It was a square with a flat roof. And we are told that the height would have been something around 450 feet, and that at least one of the walls was built rising up from the valley floor, which was strewn with rocks and boulders. To fall from the peak or the edge of the roof would bring immediate death. That was the setting. Then, very quickly, the devil took him to the edge of the temple roof, looking down from its dizzying heights. And he saith to him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And his reasoning is along these lines. You have just confessed that you rely upon the Word of God. You say no gauging of God's provision for you by merely looking with your human eyes. You will rely upon God's Word and trust His Word that God favors you, even if your eyes don't necessarily show that. That is, the things that you see with your eyes don't show that. I tried to point out to you the fact that from your condition, having nothing to eat, that you had nothing to substantiate the Word of God. You had no proof, no visible proof, that you were His beloved Son. But you said that you trusted and you lived by the Word of God. Your confidence was complete in the Word of God. That's what you said to me. All right. Now you have an opportunity to prove your confidence in the Father. You just quoted Scripture to me. Well, let me remind you of another Scripture, for the devil knows his Scripture. He quotes from Psalm 91, in which the Lord says, He will give His angels charge over thee, to bear thee up, lest thou at any time dash thy foot against a stone. Doesn't the Word of God say that the angels will arrest your fall? Will they not bear you up and set you down safely, so that you will not even bruise your foot on one of the sharp stones below? Notice how Satan seeks to build on the answer of Christ. In the first temptation, the Lord's answer was, I rely upon the Word of God. Well, Satan now seeks to use these words for the next temptation. He's very quick, and he's very clever. He just doesn't dig into his bag of temptations and let fly. No, the devil is a dead shot. He aims his arrows. He tries to use the Savior's own words. That's the way he often works in your life, too. Now, there are two things that I want you to notice in this challenge. The first is this. The second temptation is therefore the very reverse of the first, and that's astonishing. The devil does a 180-degree turn. It reminds me of how you would attempt to get a post out of the ground, a railroad tie, or something that's been used as a post or a gate, sunk into the ground. You don't have the power to pull it straight out, so what do? Well, you push it one way, and you push it the other way, back and forth. And that's the way the devil works, back and forth. He can turn 180 degrees and come at you just from the opposite way that he came the first time. In the first temptation, he suggested that the Father didn't care, that the Father had not made provision. You're hungry. Your Father says he's pleased with you, but look, he's driven you into the wilderness. Your needs are not being met. You better make these stones into bread. You better not rely upon him. Take care of yourself. Now he comes from the other side, 180-degree turn. Your Father has said, that he will care for you. He said that in Psalm 91 long ago in the book of the Psalms, that the angels will be watching over your every step. You trust in God. You said you trust his word. Well, just let go then and let God. Jump off the roof of the temple. Astonishing. First, he says, the Father doesn't care. Then, he says, well, the Father cares so much, you can throw caution to the wind. Here, create a situation in which God must act to show his power and his care. And there's the evil of this second temptation. He tries to get Jesus to show a false trust in God. It seems that Satan is saying, just trust God. Well, that sounds legitimate. And we often encourage one another to do exactly that, trust in the Lord. But understand, Satan is not proposing to Jesus to act on faith, but to act on his own presumption. To rush in impetuous leap, to trifle, and to tempt God. Do something God has said don't do. Only do it in faith. Leap out in faith. And how common that is today in the church world. The idea that God will protect you no matter what you do. Notice with me, secondly, that having been rebuffed in his first temptation by the Word of God, the devil now takes Scripture to use for his own ends. He uses the pure Word of God to serve his own ends. He picks out very carefully, because Psalm 91 is messianic. That is, it portrays the coming of the Savior, the Messiah, the servant of the Lord. He says, oh, and he'll say this to you, oh, you want to talk the Bible? Well, let's talk the Bible. Let's do this biblically then. Let's do this within the framework of Scripture. He says, I don't reject them. I can talk the Bible with you. You see, if Satan outright acknowledges that he hates the Word of God, then the lines are drawn very sharply. But he wants it to appear that there is no difference between him and the Scriptures. That's the impression that he wants left in the church. There's no difference, really, between the lie and the truth. All of these lies, really, are not lies. They can be found in the Word of God somewhere. He doesn't say to Jesus, I don't trust God's word. Oh, I trust God's word too. Here, do you? Cast thyself down off the temple. Once again, the Lord's response is beautiful and shows us what Satan's intention was. Satan's intention was that Christ would tempt God, put God to the test, create a situation designed to see if God would work or not. And Jesus, we read, said to him, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. There the Lord is quoting from Deuteronomy 6, verse 16, where we read, ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah. Moses was reminding Israel when they had rebelled in the wilderness at Massah. And you may read of that in Exodus chapter 17, 1 through 7. It was shortly after they had been delivered from Egypt. Israel blamed Moses for bringing them out into the wilderness to nothing, to bitter water. They were in one of their fits and tantrums, and they moved against Moses. No water, Moses. You brought us out here to die. Give us water to drink. And then Moses told them, you are tempting God. You are challenging him to provide. You are saying, is the Lord among us or not? You are tempting God. You are saying, well, if God is among us, then he will provide water as he did in the past. We can't wait. We need it now. Now Christ takes that very word, and in the heat of his trial, he brings that word as his defense. Satan, says the Lord, you are asking me to tell God that he must prove himself. That he must reveal his goodness to me in a way above and beyond his decree and purpose. He must do something to demonstrate that he is really God, that he has what it takes to really deliver me. Just like the people in the wilderness were saying that God has to prove that he has what it really takes to get us out of Egypt into the promised land. He has to prove it to us. So the Lord is saying, you are asking me to tempt God, to put God to the test. You are asking me to set up conditions, to set up a testing, and through this testing to determine whether or not God is going to prove himself to me, to prove that what he said is so. That's what you're doing, Satan. You tell me to challenge the faithfulness of God by throwing myself off this edge in order that the reality of what he had said in Psalm 91 would be fulfilled. Now that's exactly what God says is tempting him. That's taking his promise and saying, well, if that promise is so, then I will be delivered from this situation. Then I can devise my little experiment and discover whether or not Psalm 91 is true or not. And that's what Moses warned the people of God never to do. Never to do that. Satan said to Jesus, throw yourself off the pinnacle. Put God to the test. Find out if that word of God is really true when he said he will give his angels charge over you. You better put that to the test. Find out. And so, it's very common for us to hear today these words. Well, just let go and let God. Prove God. Show that you really trust in God. Show that God is powerful and good to his word. What that is not pious and godly, and it's not faith, and it's not trust. What that is the attempt to manipulate God, to try to pull his string. Rather than walking in his word and in his will in the assurance that his word is true and his will is wise, then, instead of that, we would walk outside of his will. We would do something dramatic in order that we might set up a test to show how great God is. Jesus said to Satan, Satan, I have come to do his will. I will never tempt him. I will never put God on trial. And I will not judge by God's response to a difficulty whether or not his word is true. I will never dare God. That is blasphemy. That is unbelief. That is presumption. The Lord says, I believe that God will keep me. He will keep me safe. But I receive that assurance exactly in the way of walking, even as he has told me. And he has told me that my body is the gift of God, not to be cast off a temple over rocks just to make a big show and demonstration to you. No, the Lord says, I will care for you in the way of your walking in obedience to my word. And so the Savior's use of Scripture is very appropriate. You may not tempt God. You may not set up situations in your life in which you put God to the test. You may not come to God and say, well, if the word of God is true, that he's really going to take care of me, as he has said in his word, well then, I'll just venture off in this. I'll leave reason out. I'll depart from his will. I'll dare him to keep me even in this dark and difficult way that I am orchestrating for myself. That is to tempt God. That is sinful. And that arises out of the deceit of Satan and out of the evil of Satan's heart. Do you do that? Do you come to God and do you say, well, I'm going to put the word of God to test. I'm not going to really believe it or really think that it can stand on its own unless there's some big test for it, So I will devise my own test. If the word of God is true that he's able to keep and bless me, well, then I can just abandon my reason, and I can abandon my responsibilities, and I can venture forth doing whatever I please, even though it puts my family and puts me in a way of threat. But I trust that God will take care of me anyway. Now that may sound to some very pious. It may sound very pious, but it is not pious. It is sin. It is to tempt the living God. No, do not tempt him. Believe him. Yes, have the assurance that God will take care of you. But have the assurance that God will take care of you in the way that God is pleased to give you the assurance, by following his word, by walking in your calling, by doing your utmost to be faithful to him. In that way, you may know that he will give his angels charge, and that he will keep your soul even unto life eternal. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee again for thy precious and holy word. We pray that its truths may enter into our heart and be our rejoicing all the day long. We ask for thy blessing upon thy church, upon thy kingdom, and upon thy children in all of their trials and difficulties. In the midst of our trials, may we by faith give glory to God, hoping in thy word and trusting, and finding the comfort that comes, and committing our way unto thee. Through Jesus Christ do we pray these things. Amen.